Well, hello everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Music Video Lens Podcast, brought to you by your super good friends at IMVDB, the Internet Music Video Database. This is episode 102. Or sorry, 103. Sorry, that was a very grievous mistake. My name is Adam Farum, one of the guys who enters data into IMVDB all day, every day. And with me, as usual, is Mr. Doug Klinger from Pompano Beach, Florida. Doug, how are you?
Doing super good. Hanging out in Pompano Beach.
That's good. It's a place Doug will never leave. He'll die there. And then we have Canada. I hope Adam won't die in Canada. It is Adam Alexander from Fringe Music Fix. Adam, how you doing?
I'm great.
And then with us on the podcast tonight, we have a special guest. You may know him from his Twitter handle, The Black, or maybe from his acting work from the Vitalik Stamina video as the detective, or also from the directing duo Black 2/ Doctor, Mr. Chris Black. How you doing, Chris?
Or my producing work as well.
That's right. Okay, sorry. I had four items here and I skipped over one. That's right.
Nice. Hi. Hey. Thanks for having me, you guys. I appreciate it.
No problem. And I mentioned that people may notice you from your the Black Twitter handle because you are a prodigious Twitter user. And over the past few, or I think today you were tweeting about the new Sky Ferreira video that I guess is one of the videos that we'll talk about, directed by Grant Singer, which is somebody who Sky Ferreira has worked with pretty much exclusively. All her videos are directed by her.
At least since her like rebrand, she did that really weird Terry Richardson video where she covers herself in lipstick. So if you're not familiar with Sky Ferreira lipstick video, look for that.
I did not know that was Terry Richardson. Okay, she's also worked with Mark Klausfeld. I'm getting an education here.
All white pop stars have like an obligation to work with Terry Richardson at least once. You know, he's got to like, at least finger bang them once, I'm sure.
Yeah, it is written that it's in everybody's contract that he has to do that. It is a rule.
We should have like a check mark on the site for like those pages. Check finger banged by Terry Richardson.
Right.
We could kind of try
just that. Have a thumbs up, the Facebook thumbs up. You know, like I tweet, or not even just tweet, just discuss with, you know, friends and peers, you know, tropes in music videos. And one of the tropes in this Sky Ferreira video is like, you know, the hood. You know, that's a big thing for me, is seeing all these videos of, you know, pop stars or, you know, artists that, you know, really don't belong there, or even, I guess, to a degree, directors who have no idea about it. You know, it's just a cool thing to do. So I saw the video and, you know, a lot of people, you know, I hadn't heard of the backlash really until today. And then I read up on it and, you know, people are saying it's racist and, you know, this and that. Like, I don't feel that it's racist per se. It's more just like it's been done. It's been done, and B, why? You know, like what does like Sky Ferreira have to do, you know, being in the hood? She's this gang leader. I mean, come on now. Like, you know, I mean, black people are cool, no doubt. But, you know, like we've seen this before. You know, there's no need to like what other story can you tell of, you know, an artist going to the hood? How can you tell the hood story differently? You know, and I just think it's whack. You know, I think it's just lazy filmmaking, you know, so.
And so you've mentioned a lot of, like you mentioned, tropes that you picked out. And one of the ideas you had is you're going to do a video of the blackest man in the whitest suburb with all the white people tropes, good credit, marriage, et cetera.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I feel like, you know, as a black man / director / what have you, you know, it's only right for me to just do the opposite of what everyone else does, right? You know, just have a really, like, just a Nigerian dark man, like maybe Jaimin Hunsu or, you know, you know, Idris Elba, have them just, like, placed in this white suburb, you know, good marriage. You know, he wakes up, has breakfast with his wife, kids. His kids are A-plus students, you know. Let me just do the opposite. I think, you know, music videos deserve that at least. You know, since everybody wants to do the hood, let's just do the opposite, you know. I'm all about being different. And, yeah.
would that by default then make that stuff cool? Like, it will suddenly, like, doing your taxes
no, I mean,
and...
it probably won't make it cool. It'll just make black people less threatening, you know.
Okay, that's fair.
You know, that's, you know,
I like that video already. You should do that video. I like it.
You know, I have I'm tossing around some ideas. You might see something like in a couple weeks. Exclusive.
So I was wondering, you know, tropes are kind of something that we talk about a lot on the podcast. One of them, one of our favorites is the mansion music video that takes place exclusively in a rented mansion. So I was just wondering, what are some of your, maybe not favorite, but the things you are constantly seeing over and over in, you know, the recent music videos?
You know, obviously like the hood or, you know, black people, what have you, which, and again, I want to clarify, like, you can have black people in your video, but like, show us like in a different light. Why do we're always in the hood. We're always, you know, thugged out, you know, and some videos call for that, you know, and I get that. But then there's some videos where you're just like, ah, come on now, you know, as far as tropes, like drug use, people, you know, it's a very specific one, you know, putting a pill on somebody's tongue. Or, you know, I'm tired of seeing, like, tracking from behind, over the shoulder. Angsty white teenagers, you know, being sad and crying, walking around. It's like, you know, like that's boring, you know? I mean, not only do I not relate to that, but it's like, what does that treatment look like, you know? All right, so we're gonna have this angsty white kid. He's very upset. And we're going to show it, and he's crying, and that's, you know, some weird deep explanation about the song. Like, come on now.
he's got to be in the forest. It's important that he's in the woods.
Oh, man, floating in the forest. Oh, God. Floating in the fucking forest. God damn.
I'm actually crying right now, boys. I'm crying right now. I mean, not in the forest, but I am a white guy crying.
That's true. You know, I mean, you know, there. I've seen, like, there's one, like, forest floating in the forest video that I love. It's Flora Manu, the M83 video. I'm not sure the name. I think is it M83? I know Flora Manu directed it.
Yeah, from last year, maybe late 2012. I know the one you're talking about.
That one's dope to me. But it's like, I saw a video, and I know you guys know it, but it's like these cheer, like a dance squad or cheer, I don't know, cheerleaders or something dancing in a forest. And you're like, okay, cool. Last few minutes, they're floating in the fucking air. Like, why?
Just so you know, though, white people float. That's what we do.
White people do float. You guys are very, you know, float worthy.
Particularly Canadians are very lighter than air. Definitely. They're known for that.
I'm floating right now.
I wanted to bring up a trope, and it appears in two of this week's music videos. And I guess maybe it's not a trope because they got paid to do it, but it's a product placement. Does that count as a trope? Let's determine that first.
I mean, it's one of those things. It's a necessary evil, I guess. I mean, I don't really fuck with it, but I understand it. I think maybe I'm just so desensitized to it that I just like ignore it, you know. And yeah, two of the videos, it's by the same company, you know.
The two from this week, you mean?
That's the videos from this week. Same right. Company. You know, we've all seen it, and we all know it.
It's the same shot, I think. And they might have used the same hand, and just even though one is Wiz Khalifa and the other is Cody Simpson, they don't have the same looking hands, but it's literally the same shot of the Beats headphones app or something. I don't even know what it is.
But, the new music service and the pill also, Beats pill. Yeah. Pill. That's cool, but it's like what I want to do, Capri Sun product placement, like fuck with me, you know? Or Hot Pockets, like,
you know? Have you ever, like, are you just, like, outwardly, like, yo, Hot Pockets, come hit us up for the next video? Like, is you just trying to put those vibes out there?
You know, I mean, being a director, you don't make a lot of money, so you got to eat somehow. Right. So I can do, you know, throw some Hot Pocket product placement in. Maybe they'll give me a year's supply, and I'll be good. You know, same thing with Capri Sun. You know?
Do you think like, that's enough? Like, if you got a year's supply of Capri Sun and Hot Pockets, like, that's kind of set.
I'll make it last.
And it's funny that when I think of, like, a franchise that has had a stranglehold on music videos for the past few years, it is definitely the Blank by Dre. Before we got on the podcast, I was watching, for some reason, Party Rock Anthem by LMFAO, directed by Mickey Finnegan, which is from like 2011. And that has the Beats by Dre headphones. And then, you know, fast forward a few years with Miley Cyrus, and then there's that famous opening shot with the Beats by Dre pill, and now they have this sort of RDO / Spotify competitor that is a you know, an app thing, and they've got it everywhere. I mean, we see product placements for stuff all the time, but they seem to have like a line going through everything. They're very, very into marketing through music videos.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, 50 Cent said that Interscope Records is basically Beats Records, you know, and I think a lot of the videos that you see with, like, you know, the Beats and all the product placement, I think they're probably the majority, you know, Interscope artists. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it makes sense. Like, if this artist is signed to my label and I have this product, why not, you know? And I guess that maybe goes... That says something about the artist. Maybe the artist is a product as well. Ooh.
Oh, man.
Well, you know, there are – it's funny because we originally started this music – our site as Filmed Insert, which was a name for music videos, and we changed it to IMDb. Yeah. And then, you know, there are other names that kind of include promo, like promo news, for example, which – You know, I don't know if it's just in like a British thing or whatever, but whenever I think of that, I think of commercials, you know, promos. Yeah. So that there's
and there,
yeah, exactly. We've talked to, you know, many producers and things like that who definitely view music videos as commercials first and foremost.
Yeah, you know, I mean, yeah, I think that's a fair assessment, you know. But I also think that you can do music videos without having it be commercial. You know, it's almost like the, you know, the indie filmmaker kind of thing versus the Hollywood studio system. You know, I think you can make music videos and not have it be, you know, you could just be a lover of music and love film and make something dope and just cause, you know, and it's not necessarily, hey, let me promote this artist. You know, it's no different than people adapt books. You know, it's like you read a book and you're like, oh, wow, this would be great visually. And then you adapt the book and you see it on the, you know, theater screen. So I think, you know, we can still do that. We can still make art, quote unquote.
Are there, other than yourself, are there some other directors out there that you would say are doing that in particular?
I'll say that I like Hiro Murai. I think he's doing dope stuff. He's just a creative dude. The stuff he does is, you know, each video is very visually stunning, you know, and when I watch it, I'm watching it purely for the visual aesthetic and, you know, so I think he's one. Who else? I think, you know, AG's dope. There are a couple others. I can't really think of them. You know, they'll come to me, but I do have my eye on a few people who I'm just like, yo, they're sick, you know, and I love what they do because you can tell that they like really love music, you know, and that's the place I try to come from when, you know, working on any kind of project is like, I have to love the music first. And, you know, that's what I think of first is the music, rather than like, you know, who's going to, or like, let me do the cool thing, or who's going to see this? You know, it's like, I'm focused on the music.
This is kind of self-serving because we have a new feature on the site, which is audio commentaries. And one of the videos that we have an audio commentary for is Stamina by Vitalik, which you are featured in as an actor. And I know you do a lot of directing and producing work, but I was wondering, how did you, because this is like a central role in this. You're not, we've talked to, you know, video commissioners and producers and stuff who have done cameos and stuff before, but this is kind of like a leading acting role. And I was wondering how you fell into that.
My friend, Sarah Park, she produced the video. She hit me up and was like, hey, like, do you want to be in this music video? And me, you know, like, I love acting and all that shit. I love being in anything, you know, as you can tell, I love being the center of attention. So I was like, yeah, sure. So she, you know, I went down to the audition and met Saman for the first time, you know, and I had heard of him. I'd seen his work before. And, you know, I auditioned and he, you know, loved it and was like, yo, you want to be in this? And I was like, yeah, sure. You know, so that, and, you know, the funny thing too, is when it came out, or even before it actually came out, a lot of people had seen it, but everyone was like, oh, you did such a great job. You did such a great job. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. And then I saw it and I was like, all right, this isn't cool. This isn't bad. You know, but all I did was just stare very intensely, you know, and ran. So, I mean, I think the video's dope. I think it's dope, but, you know, and a lot of people just said I did well. So, you know, I guess I gotta take it where I can get it, you know?
They had a pretty crazy rig or something for that running scene, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. You know, it's, what is that? That it's like...
Snorri cam,
thank you. The Snorri cam is made for, you know, very thin model types, and I am not that, which I'm totally fine with. So, you know, it was a little janky, and Saman had me running for like hours and hours and hours through the city of Los Angeles in my boxers or a tank top or a wife beater, whatever. And, you know, I mean, I had fun other than the running.
So we should talk about some of the music videos of the week, because Chris, you mentioned Hiro Murai, and he has been, and he's warned us about this over Twitter, that he's been kind of, March and April are big months for him in terms of releases. And he has a new music video, Sweatpants by Childish Gambino.
Hiro has kind of come out with a string of videos, particularly for this style of hip-hop artist, this kind of Earl Sweatshirt, Childish Gambino kind of skateboarder hip-hop artist. He's like kind of been on a roll with these videos. He's really dreamy, kind of dark videos, and this one kind of comes along that same line. It starts with Childish Gambino walking into kind of a rundown diner. I guess it's not that rundown, it's just a diner. And he kind of walks through it with Ari Robbins Steadicam following around the diner. And then once he goes outside, things start to get even stranger. He comes back inside, and it's suddenly what was once the back door is now the front door, and some of the patrons in the diner have become Childish Gambino as well. And so he goes to the diner again. Same thing happens. Front door turns into back door. And then the whole diner is now filled with Gambinos. And then after that point, my favorite part of the video hits. And it's like this really crazy kind of like eerie forest scene. And he's singing a different song. And he's all these crazy lights and fogs and people dancing. And that's how the video ends with that stuff. How'd I do, guys?
Pretty good.
Is anybody floating?
There's no floating white people in this one.
no sad white people either.
No. I kind of a stoic Childish Gambino, which has kind of been the persona that he's taken on, especially since the beginning of this, since starting to promote this most recent album. He's kind of taken on this never super happy disposition. And exists in this video.
I think I agree with you on the second half of the video was like my absolute favorite. I think the tone of it, the dancers were great. And you know, I think matching that part of the song, it was perfect. You know, the diner stuff was aight. It was aight. It wasn't bad. But you know, I think when the video started, I kind of saw where it was going. I knew what was going to happen, kind of thing. But you know, it's still a solid video.
I don't. Yeah. Doug, do you remember what the comedy group was that they had?
Yeah,
it was a Derek comedy.
Derek comedy. There's a character on the thing on the third pass when he comes in. There's a character that looks exactly like the, and we'll link to it in the show notes. There's a skit where they do a spelling bee. And he's dressed up almost exactly like the spelling bee Proctor in that skit.
That's such a good one. That's got Dan Ekman in it, actually. Dan Ekman is part of that comedy troupe. He normally, who directed some of the early Childish Gambino videos, he's in that Derek comedy troupe. And he's the guy who keeps opening the book opening the dictionary.
That's right, yeah. And he has been on this podcast, too. He was a guest.
He has.
And shout out Dan Ekman.
Give big ups, Dan.
big ups.
I'm sure he's listening, yeah.
He does. He emailed me and told me he did. The one impressive thing that a lot of people have been talking about in this video is that there was no motion control use, and that the Steadicam was all just Ari Robbins, and that's cool. Yeah. Apparently, I don't know too much about stuff, but that seems complicated. I've never tried it, Steadicam or motion control or anything cool, but that seems complicated. Seems complicated.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
So you would know better than us, I suppose.
No, I mean, I definitely heard a lot of people saying, oh, the motion control was great. But, you know, like, you could tell that it's not motion control. Just because of, you know, the way the Childish Gambino heads were, you know, articulating on the other bodies. Right. I mean, I think that is cool in itself, too. Because, you know, rather than doing it, like, super sleek, like, it's supposed to be weird. So if the heads don't match the body movements, you know, I think it works. You know, it's not a perfect thing. It doesn't have to be perfect, you know.
Yeah, I think they did little stuff like that intentionally. Like for example, in the second pass, how like there's a couple making out outside, and instead of having him be the male character, he's the female character, and like he's in a dress, and it's kind of jarring. I think that kind of plays towards that idea as well a little bit. And he pulls off the dress, which is cool. He's looking good in the dress.
Yeah, you keep mentioning Ari Robbins' Steadicam like it's a trademark or something, like it's a brand name.
He's the man. A lot of people go to him because he's not only is he just a good dude and funny and pleasant to be with on set, but he, you know, he's. Look at his work. You know, his work is pretty, pretty top notch. So,
and you can look at his work on our website, because he's also a very frequent user of our website and has been very forthcoming with all of his credit information. So, you know, giving him a little shout out in my blog, in the blog, least we could do for the Steady Jew. Steady Jew is what he goes by.
Steady Jew. Yeah, he's got it on his little harness. It says it right there. Steady Jew. He just needs to get it engraved, because right now I think it's like tape. masking tape, and it says Steady Jew. Let's, you know what we should do? We should chip in and get him a, you know, engraved Steady Jew harness. What do you guys say?
I'm down. I got Kickstarter tomorrow. It's like when you when you first start your job at Blockbuster, they give you just the Blockbuster tag with it taped, and then after a year you get the engraved one. Right. I know that because I worked at Blockbuster, so bragging about that. Taking the chance to brag about
Blockbuster.
Right, I know. It was a great place. I grew up on Blockbuster. It's weird.
Me too.
Well, we should mention that we're big into first on the podcast, and we always go over the number one video in terms of, I guess, what we're tracking. We try to track as many videos as possible, but sometimes it's a little overwhelming. But number one on the charts right now, we have It's On Again by Alicia Keys, featuring a number of people, including Kendrick Lamar and Pharrell Williams and Hans Zimmer.
Well, Pharrell is very gently in the song, I think.
He produced the song also.
Right, and then it's Hans Zimmer because it's from the Spider-Man soundtrack, right? And he is the composer of that soundtrack, I think. I actually don't know how Hans Zimmer finds his way in there either.
Yeah, he's probably the composer.
Adam Alexander coming in with the facts.
I think so. You're right.
Well, we should just mention real quick that this is the first time, I think, in a while, at least a year, that we've seen a number one video for the week from a motion picture, like from a film. Because this is a, you know, we've had a lot of videos that have like clips of movies in them. This had clips of movies from Spider-Man, the Amazing Spider-Man 2. Yeah, and it ends up being number one on the charts. It's kind of a rarity.
It is strange, and I guess the video kind of thematically is kind of similar to maybe what the movie will be like, but it's not like they tie the clips in at all. They basically just cut to them, hard cuts to Spider-Man from Alicia Keys. I like Kendrick Lamar in this video, though. I mean, not him, I guess, not in the video, but he's nice to listen to.
Yeah, for sure. The intro is cool. I felt like the Spider-Man clips, obviously it's a promotion for the movie, but they felt a little out of place. They could have probably somehow transitioned those a little better. But the video as a whole, the shots of Alicia Keys, she looks smoking hot in this video. It was a cool video. I liked it. Maybe just drop the Spider-Man in this one if we could. We can't, but if we could.
But we should just mention that this Alicia Keys video is directed by Rich Lee, who has directed some of your favorites, like having Eminem fly around a city and Not Afraid.
Lots of Eminem videos.
I mean, it had a look that that was familiar to me, and I couldn't, you know. You know, usually I like to watch the video, and then I find out who directed it, and then I saw it was Rich Lee, and I was like, oh, okay, makes sense. It's got that look, just like, you know, The Monster and all the other ones. Rap God, he did as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. I mean, the video was cool. It was You know, I think Pharrell being the, you know, the running the city kind of thing with his little beats machine, I think that was kind of eh. You know, but I think a video like this, when you have, you know, three powerhouse artists, you know, the challenge is finding a role for them. You know, clearly you have Alicia as the singer. You have Kendrick as the rapper, and I guess he was kind of like, you know, the leader of the troops, if you will. You have Hans Zimmer just conducting his heart out in the middle of the city, you know. So yeah, the challenge is finding a role for each of them. The corny part, I thought this was very corny, is when, you know, towards the end of the video, it's all four of them and they're standing face to face and they're like having like a cipher, you know, like imagine Hans Zimmer, like, you know, rapping Kendrick, spinning flows, you know, that's what it looked like. It looked kind of, it was a little corny, so, but it was all right.
I think Hans Zimmer could hold his own with Kendrick. I don't know. He's pretty dope. This video reminded me a little bit of a couple of videos that feature Puff Daddy.
Victory.
Yeah,
Victory
video.
Victory and Come With Me, right. Both Victory and Come With Me have this same vibe. And Come With Me is also a soundtrack from the Godzilla soundtrack. So it's got that vibe for sure. And Adam, don't worry, I won't tell our story about that song.
There's also, like, in the initial, like, Kendrick Lamar verse where he's kind of, like, crouching down, I did get a little bit of a Busta Rhymes Victory vibe there.
Yeah, that's yeah. I get that there. Yeah, yeah. For sure. And he's rasping.
And my people wake up, where the fuck you at? Where my bitches is at? Where my niggas is at? Woo-ha!
That's very accurate. That is a great... I'm glad Adam mentioned Busta Rhymes.
Man, that's... Yeah, when you said that, took me back.
It's funny because we had...
Or when he was, like, thin and not buff and, like...
He's fluctuated in size. He used to not be thin either, right? Like, wasn't he like, sort of rounded for a while? Maybe not.
Yeah, he was always a thin dude. And then, you know, then he cut the hair and just got buff, you know?
We had Jonathan Delgado, who is the editor from that video, Victory by Puff Daddy, on the podcast. Strangely enough, anytime we have anybody who's even tangentially related to the podcast,
we have to mention it.
We have to mention contractually. So
and
we
shout out. Technically, Victory is Puff Daddy and the family. We can't leave the family out. Let's move on, though. Let's move on to another video from this week that features someone looking into their cell phone at the beginning of it to start their new Beats streaming video player, and that's Surfboard by Cody Simpson, directed by the Young Astronauts. Did you guys love this video?
I did not watch the entire... I watched literally 30 seconds on the
video. I did not watch this whole video either.
You don't have to. Really.
I made it a little bit further than 30 seconds. So. how far did Adam Alexander... Adam Alexander, actually, explain this video to the point that you stopped watching it.
I actually watched the whole thing. I made it at beginning to end. Beginning to end. The female model kept my attention throughout the entire duration. She was a very beautiful woman, and I had to push through. I had to push through.
You couldn't just Google, like, beautiful woman and stare at that?
You could have. Cause I mean, there's not a whole lot to the video. It's a dude and his woman and a surfboard. And I guess maybe they're going through the process of kind of finishing off the surfboard, maybe like fabricating it a little bit. But yeah, there's not a whole lot to this. But I made it through.
And then after the video ended, you googled pictures of ladies. That's still that was still part of your day, so that's good.
Very surfboard ladies. Man, I just dropped that right in.
I went to you went to, Adam went to google.ca, yeah, the Canadian Google, and typed in beautiful ladies.
Yeah.
Beautiful surfer ladies.
Surfboardladies.ca. Google it.
We always like to talk about meta videos on the podcast, and this week saw a very meta video that included a actor playing the actual director of the video, and that was Crime by Real Estate, directed by Tom Sharpling. And they have an actor, Andy Daly, playing Tom Sharpling, who actually opens up the video talking about how he has no money, and he's had to, for some reason, farm out the concept of the video to three people, which have given him money for some reason to create for the concept of the video. And then,
they all have things they want to promote.
They all have things they want to promote, be it pottery or a Thai restaurant.
Or Westboro Baptist Church.
Westboro Baptist Church also features in there. But I just found it interesting because we haven't seen a kind of meta video in a while. And this, in terms of meta videos, this one is really direct. I mean, it's kind of somebody playing Tom Sharpling by name, looking at the camera, telling you that he's broke. And at the end of the video, it's kind of funny because he says, did you like, you know, that video was pretty okay. And he says, oh, who the fuck cares? And he just, and it cuts out.
he actually did, has done this before. I can't remember which video. I think it's maybe Charmer by Amy Mann. He has somebody else playing him at the beginning of the video as well. I don't think it's Andy Daly, though. I think it's somebody else. I can't remember who. But Tom Sharpling has had someone else playing him inside of a video before. So he has done this. I love this video so much. My favorite part is when the old man is showing the vampire teenagers a scrapbook. That was my highlight of this video.
This video was I loved it. I actually really loved it. I thought it was hilarious. You know, yeah. I wanted to see more of the old man. You know, but yeah, him showing the skating vampires, the scrapbook, and you know, you see the vampire. They're like, oh, yeah, right. That's cool. Yeah,
she's
yeah.
Like, mister, oh, okay. You know?
Genius, fucking yeah. Genius.
So good. I'd love for this video to cut like for them to release this video without like the 2 minute preface at the beginning and just like see people watching it and trying to figure out what the hell's going on, because obviously you need that 3 minute part for any of it to make sense. But yeah, it's such a fantastic. Tom Sharpling is really good at music videos, and this is a shining example of that.
You know, I wonder if this is also maybe a commentary on product placement. You know, maybe it's a satirical look on product placement, and you know, sometimes people just don't care. They're like, "Yeah, the money. I'll take the money."
I definitely think it is, and I also think it's
perhaps.
I also think it plays on what people's perception of music videos are, like that there is even like bags of money involved, and like people like could have like there. It would be not valuable at all for someone to like have their name attached to a music video as a writer. Like that wouldn't, I don't think that serves anybody's needs. And so yeah, it's really funny. I think it plays with that as well, people's perception of how music videos work.
For being in a Thai restaurant, I'm a big fan of Thai food, and
me too.
And there was only really one food shot that I could discern, and that was like an egg roll, or maybe it was a spring roll, but
I think it's an egg roll. It was sizable.
Yeah, they weren't really showcasing Thai food in the best way, but they did spend $200 apparently, according to the Tom Sharpling actor, to be in that Thai food restaurant. So, but yeah, the old man, Chris, I definitely agree, because like the old man is so like earnest. You kind of feel for him, and especially when he like tries to dress him up in like barbershop quartet outfits,
right?
Like that's gonna help him for some reason.
I love the thriller ending of like the girl suddenly being the monster and then looking directly into the camera as it zooms in on her face is also a really, really nice touch. I like that as well. Tom Sharpling.
Thanks, Tom. We wanted to also just mention, because it's kind of odd that we haven't. Well, there's a few odd things going on. I guess we should talk about the guy who cut his penis off first.
Yeah, let's do that one. Let's do that one.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that. There's a whole scenario.
Now we're talking.
There's a lot of layers to this story. There's a rapper whose real name is Andre Johnson, and which is a
no pun intended.
Right, tragic last name for this scenario. And then whose rapper name is Christbearer, and he's a rapper, and he's been linked to Wu-Tang Clan, and although briefly there was a post on Wu-Tang's website where they were kind of mean. They were like, we don't know this guy at all. Don't listen to that. And then that's since been deleted. And then there's just like links to the TMZ site there. But like in the, and anyway, this gentleman, Christbearer, he released a music video this week as well. And in this video, everyone's wearing shirts with the Wu-Tang symbol. And so I'm assuming that they actually are in some ways affiliated with Wu-Tang Clan. Anyway, this guy, yesterday being Wednesday, in an apparent suicide attempt, cut his penis off and then jumped off of a second story building, and survived. He's not alive, although I do hear that they sadly will not be able to reattach his penis despite having it. So that happened, and there's a music video, and I guess, like, you know, I'm not going to play psychiatrist or anything like that, but like, he seems a little unstable in this music video. It's some of his lyrics are kind of incomprehensible a little bit, at least to me.
A little bit, yeah.
And he's kind of you know, he seems a little wacky.
This video was actually kind of perfect, you know, because like, even if you didn't know about the story beforehand, you know, just hearing the song itself, it's all over the place, just like the video. Them walking around Hollywood Boulevard and getting into like wacky shit. I think it's perfect. But I think a better video though would be him filming his penis being cut off. Wouldn't you guys agree?
Yeah. Well, who knows? Maybe there is footage of that. We're not sure. I can't put the timing right. I can't tell if this video was released because this guy made the news and they were like, oh shit, let's get this video out there now. Or if they put it out and it just so happened to be like hours prior to this guy cutting his penis off. But either way, it's a pretty crazy story. And it's really interesting that because I heard about it because I saw it on like Facebook trending topics. And it's,
yeah,
it's
me nice. Too.
It's not me like too. This guy is – he wasn't like a famous rapper by any stretch of the imagination. You know, this video that came out this week is pushing like 50,000 views, and that's all people who are there. I mean, all the comments are like Slicebearer and, you know, just people making fun of his name and his penis.
Did this video drop on LiveLeak?
No, I don't think so. It wasn't LiveLeak or WorldStar.
Because, I mean, I think that'd be the appropriate place. Yeah.
If there is going to be a graphic penis cutting off video, it is going – yeah, I would say LiveLeak is the place it's going to be. This whole thing seems ridiculously unhinged. Even the name of the song is just O-O-O-H with an exclamation point.
Yeah, I think it's pronounced ooh.
Yeah, I mean, we see – if you go onto Twitter at any given time during the day or night and search, you know, new rap video – you will get, like, I've tried this before, like, 2 years ago, I was like, I'm going to find every single video, and I had, like, a Twitter alert for, like, new music video, and I just couldn't keep up with the deluge of videos like this that were just, you know, kind of, let's go out into the street and, you know, film just, like, you know, whatever's going on. And if it wasn't for this story, I don't think this would be anywhere near 95K.
Right.
And I would like to say that the guy... The one important part of the story that I think I understand is that this guy was on PHP or no, PGP or something. I don't know. I have no clue about these kind of things. He was on some sort of mind-altering state, and that has always been one of my fears, that I'm going to be on some mind-altering state and do something to myself that will get me on TMZ. So,
And people would look back and find your old rap songs.
Yeah, my old raps, yeah.
Say rapper Adam Fairholm. Cut his penis off.
Is it sort of like Doug? You mentioned they kind of disowned it and then they backtracked it a bit. Is it like a franchise type thing? Because what I understood was that it was like a West Coast office of the Wu-Tang, or maybe I am mistaken. But it seemed to be relatively. There seemed to be some paperwork somewhere that had some connections.
It was on their letterhead. There was a Wu-Tang symbol on the letterhead. He was, I mean, he's certainly not in the Wu-Tang clan, or, and he's not even Capadonna, but it was some kind of like loose affiliation. But there's a lot of issues with the Wu-Tang clan right now. Like Raekwon has taken a leave of absence because he says RZA sucks. So there's lots going on. They got a lot to worry about. Wu-Tang Clan is, I guess they're not so forever. So that's an interesting story. But I think we should talk about some of these other videos of this week. There was a lot of really good music videos that came out this week, and that we should talk about some more of them. Can we talk about this Symphony No. 9 music video?
Yes, because this is one that we haven't seen something quite like this before. And Antonin Dvorak is a composer from like the 1800s. He is not an artist that we usually see on the site, but there he is. And apparently this is some sort of project where they're making music videos for old classical pieces. And this one is basically 2 minutes and 57 seconds of these ladies twerking. And they don't seem to be in particular like kind of twerking with the song. I read the mission statement on the site, and it is along the lines of like, you know, we want to give classical music the same, you know, treatment that popular music gets today, which I definitely get. I'm interested to see. I think this is the first one that they've come out with, and I'm interested to see what they'll do next.
And it's important to note that the girls, I think it's Wavia, maybe, is that how you say it? Those are the ladies in it. They're a dance team, and I don't think that's what you call it. It's not really a team. They don't compete, but they dance in music videos, and in this one particular, and they've got some good moves. They've got some Adam Alexander level moves.
They've got some moves. I have to back the moves.
You know, at the end of the video, you know, they have like a caption that says, you know, you've just listened to classical music, or you've just listened to 3 minutes of classical music, which, you know, yeah, I guess. But I mean, me personally, I heard nothing. I just saw and basically fantasized. So, I mean, I don't know what you guys heard, but I heard something different. I heard butterflies. I just heard the sounds of me falling in love with these women, twerking right. to classical music. So, you know,
I found the desire to look them up and then learn more and then put their photos in our database. That's weird.
If you look at the screenshot of this, they're in front of some buildings, and those buildings, I'm relatively sure, is the same location where they shot the kind of famous walking backwards scene from Gangnam Style. I believe that is the exact same location, and I'm just actually looking it up right now because I want to make sure. But the buildings in the background look exactly the same.
Well, where are Wavia from? Are they Korean?
They are South Korean, yes.
So it's possible. It's the one thing that's interesting about Wavia that I found is because I tried to complete these ladies' profiles. They have a following, and I wanted to represent them on the site. And you can only find the two main girls with photos of just them individually. All the rest is the whole crew. So it's interesting. They only feature the two main girls, and the rest not so featured.
Yes, so this is definitely the same location. Like definitely, I'm looking at a side by side. They're literally the same location. So they're definitely a reference to Gangnam Style in there.
How about that? I do want to mention another video that came out this week that features some dancing at the end, and that is "Money" by Peace, directed by Ninian Dauph, who has been on this podcast. I love this video so much. The whole thing, the end, like, was kind of unexpected, but kind of this whole video was. It starts out with like a business type guy who like goes through his day as a businessman, and like basically his sole job is to like do like these really elaborate secret handshakes with people, and by the end of the video he's gone with like all his bosses to this crazy strip club, and the stripper is a crazy lizard with lady legs, and then they start doing all kind of drugs.
You're missing so much stuff in this video.
What else happens?
I think you got
this
it.
Video, what this did video, he miss? No, that's perfect.
That was perfect. Adam, I think it was perfect.
What happened? What'd I miss? The fact that he's got like a...
Wait. So, Chris, you were agreeing. You said that... Hold on.
Yeah.
I'm agreeing, too. I like Doug's synopsis. That was good.
Yeah. It was nailed perfect.
So first of all, I believe the ending is a reference to the sort of the conspiracy theory that, you know, the world is governed by these reptilian creatures who phase shift from one dimension to the next and are reptilian. So, you know, any world leaders, you know, important, you know, world bankers, stuff like that. If you go to reddit.com/rconspiracy, you can find all this kind of stuff. I think that was very, 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 very clear. Wow. And it seems to be a very, like, there's definitely a hierarchy here. First of all,
I think you should cut your penis off and jump out a window.
Right.
Well, first of all, so Doug, you characterize that this is his job. This is definitely not his job. First of all, he goes through three separate levels, and it's very clear in the video that he's going through different chains of command. First of all, it's the guy in the bathroom. He completes that first level. Then it's the more, you know, middle boss, and then he gets to the ending one. And each one he successfully completes. And by the end, he's sort of let into this upper echelon club where, you know, there is, you know, he's kind of, it is revealed this sort of reptilian, you know, world to him. And right. Part of this reptilian world is that the entertainment is not strippers like it would be in any other, you know, normal context, but it is, there's this weird stripper lizard person. That is what I took away from the video.
So I guess I'm pretty close on that. I didn't initially think of, like, you know, Donald Rumsfeld level lizard people being our overlords. But now that you say that, I'm on board with that theory. But yeah, I guess like to him going through. I mean, that could be his. Like, I viewed it that way as like the levels and him kind of achieving different like. Getting past the levels, but I just kind of thought that is him kind of climbing this ladder of success kind of thing. Like, he impresses his manager and then his manager takes him to the bigger boss. But, you know, the way you characterized it, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not as upset with you as you are with me. So that's right. Cool.
That was pretty good, I mean, Adam Fairholm. That was pretty detailed. You thought about this more than we did,
which is unusual.
It's a first. Is this a first?
It would typically it's me and Adam Alexander like looking really deeply into like Colin Tilly, Justin Bieber videos, and then Adam being all right, he, like, Adam conceding that we make sense even though we probably are wrong. And so this is the first time, like, I was just like, I had a lot of fun watching these guys doing secret handshakes and seeing lizard strippers.
Exactly. Cool handshakes and lizards. Yeah. I was in. I was down.
I mean,
that was all I thought about.
The lizard, though, that's where it jumped the shark for me, yo.
Yeah, oh, that was like, a shark jump for you.
That was too
far.
Yeah,
I mean, the handshake, I was like, oh, this is sick, you know, like, and they're very elaborate, you know, and then he was led into, you know, I honestly thought it was a chipmunk stripper. I was like, wow. I think I would have preferred a chipmunk stripper.
Well, if it's a chipmunk, then Adam's theory goes out the window. But it sounds like the lizard was like exactly what Adam was expecting. Adam was watching that whole video like, oh, I can't wait for this lizard to come up. Is that true? Were you ready for it?
In a way, because, you know, what is he getting to? Because obviously these interactions are not expected, especially for the last boss. As soon as he kind of gives some sort of look, and it's both understood by both parties that they're going to go through this sort of ritual. But if you're thinking of like the kind of highest echelon of sort of like peeking behind the curtain that you can get to, that would be it. Like,
I think the butt, though, is like you said, it's, you know, world leaders that are lizards. This was a stripper. So right. You're saying that world leaders are really strippers, or strippers are lizards?
They should be strippers.
Or in world leaders are lizards, so are the strippers.
See, this is where my argument breaks down.
Pinned off on for a commentary, so he can give it some background. And I think Zach Stoltz did some VFX on this video, so maybe we'll ask him. Maybe he didn't get explained. It was just like, put lizard on legs, and he did. But
big up.
But yeah, big up to all the peeps who we said their names.
Well, you guys just need a big up button, like you know, every time you mention somebody on the site, you press a button. Soundboard, big up.
I think we'll do that. A very like.
Can we get that soundbite from specifically from you, Chris?
Yeah, whatever you guys need, I got you.
So we'll have a Chris Black soundboard. I like that. We're trying to like kind of innovate in terms of technology. First with the commentaries, next with the soundboards. And I should mention that the reason that I'm usually detached and have a cursory experience with all the videos we're talking about is because I'm the only developer on the site. So my job entails in writing code as well as watching music videos.
Other shit.
But of course, that's no excuse, especially when these videos are so good. I think there was one more we wanted to.
Kanye West by Atmosphere.
Ooh yeah.
Is that the one? I certainly like to talk about this one. That this is one where we already have a director's commentary available from director Pete Lee, where he talks about the fact that the gentleman in this video is actually his landlord, and the only gunsmith left in San Francisco. Those are very interesting piece of information, and there are more interesting pieces of information in that commentary. So check that out. That'll be in the show notes.
I liked it. I thought it was cool. I thought it was funny. That it was Asian woman or Asian man and a black woman as this couple that, you know, rob, you know, to, you know, they rob liquor stores or, you know, people just to support their lifestyle. I thought it was funny, you know, and I also thought it was interesting. Did you guys know, I'm dropping knowledge on you guys, that black women and Asian men are like they have the highest rates of single living. Like most of them aren't usually married or. So I thought it was a good pairing, if you will.
I did not know that. That is some knowledge. So they're the most likely to be single.
Yes, they're most likely to be single. And so I thought it was perfect. And I don't know if he, you know, if he had that in mind. Yeah, it was cool.
I know that he definitely had his landlord in mind the whole time. That was definitely. He knew. This is the role his landlord was born to play. This is the role that his landlord was born to play, I think, because he's fantastic in it. And they're all his guns. And one story that I'll share that Pete Lee told me and he didn't mention in the commentary is that the first – one of the early days of shooting, his landlord was giving gun lessons to everyone, and he gave a gun – to his co-star that ended up being loaded, and they didn't know that it was loaded, and he gave her this gun, and then someone noticed quickly and emptied it out. But she could have murdered everyone, so that's fun. That's a fun story about almost murder.
What the music video industry needs is one of those, like, you know, sort of stories. Because for all the run and gun of music videos, I don't really hear a lot of like this person got seriously injured. There have been, and especially in the past year, several stories of injuries on film sets. But for all the crazy stories we hear about music videos, they seem to be relatively safe.
Right.
So far.
So far, no haunted sets.
So good. So
would
good.
Would you agree with that, Chris?
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree with that. I would agree with that. I think maybe there should be more accidents on set, you know, give people an edge, you know, great storytelling. Like, yo, I lost a leg while this angsty teen was crying, floating in the woods.
I mean, there's a lot of potential. I mean, with all those white kids up in the air, someone could fall and hurt themselves very severely.
Every time you mention angsty white kids, I think of the Spike Jonze, the Suburbs video. I'm going to link to that in the show notes because that is like the quintessential. I mean, it has like some dystopian elements to it, but it is a Spike Jonze video. So there is a lot of teen angst, which there's a lot of teen angst in Arcade Fire. So I guess it kind of goes hand in hand.
And in America, I mean, it is here. It's here. It's around
us. It has arrived. It's like West Nile.
So did anybody else for a few days until they put the commentary up on the site live think that this was a Kanye West song called Atmosphere? Who would ever think of that? Whoever did that is a complete dumbass. But yeah, no, I thought this video was great. And that's funny that you mentioned that, because if, you know, Chris, about the two groups that are most likely to be kind of single and often alone.
Yeah.
Because when you're single and often alone, those are kind of the two groups that would get into the, would seem to be like the most likely candidates for pairing up for trouble. So while it is like a completely, you know, odd, and I think Pete Lee describes it as an odd couple in the film, or in the commentary, that I guess it kind of does make a little bit of sense when you kind of put it in context.
Yeah.
I'm not an Asian male or a black female, so I guess I'm just fucked.
No, just, wait.
No one's going to make a video, but I can be the floating angsty white teen. I can be the floaty. Right. I'm not a teen anymore, but I can still float.
Still got plenty of angst, though. Let's not.
I've got the angst. I can float. It's Chris, good. You make a video, I'm in it. I'll be there.
All right, I got you,
I'll be floating and crying. I can do it.
Okay. All right.
Now, I think I told you we would. We talked about it a bit last week. We actually had Norton on with us, but Chris, you mentioned you wanted us to talk about the $25 by Danny Brown music video, and I'm curious why this video in particular did you want us to talk about?
Well, you know, I think I think it was the last video that kind of came out that, you know, a few of my friends and I just discussed. You know, also Norton and I have had like a little thing, a little tiff, if you will, you know, nothing serious. You know, I love Danny Brown as an artist. I think he's dope. Anything he puts out, I always check for, you know, same thing with a lot of other artists. You know, I love them as the artist first, and I love to see what, you know, the visual representation of their art looks like. You know, so I mean, this video wasn't bad. It was all right. You know, I just thought that there could have been more done. You know, the motion control, the family, I guess the memories of, you know, growing up. It was almost done like an afterthought. You know, I felt like there maybe could have been more to the story. To the narrative, rather. You know, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't that good, you know. So
no, we've talked. Adam talked earlier about some of the things you tweet about in some of your tweets, and I know that one of the things you tweet about pretty frequently is hip hop videos, and how, you know, you sometimes are tweet at directors directly and let them know how you feel about their hip hop videos. I'm curious what it is about some of the other hip hop videos, some of the ones that you might be talking about in these tweets that you're not so fond of.
I mean, I think, you know, that, you know, going back to the original topic of tropes, you know, when you look at hip hop videos, you know, we're all familiar with the tropes of, you know, women, cars, money, you know, very flashy, big lifestyle, you know, but the thing is, you know, I feel like we're at a different point creatively with, you know, people making music and seeing videos, but still, when you watch a hip hop video, you know, the late 90s still has, you know, carried over into, you know, some boring videos, you know, and I think it's a thing of rappers aren't taking chances. Maybe labels aren't taking chances with anything weird. You know, that's why I love art, like an artist like Earl Sweatshirt, you know, not just because of his skill and his talent, but, you know, again, Hero Murai, like, did something dope that was different than rap videos. Mm-hmm. You know, the standard. And I mean, yeah, Colin Tilley, you know, you take Colin Tilley, he makes the same flashy music video for every rapper. And it's like, and that sucks because, you know, I know you're a big rap fan. You guys are big rap fans. You know, I am too. So for me, it's not, it doesn't stop with just the music. It's the video as well. So when I see, you know, Rick Ross or Future or any of these other guys who make, you know, these really dope songs and you're like super hyped for the video, you see the video and you're just so disappointed that it makes you, you know, and you know, and I get it. I get that it's a business. It's, you know, sometimes rappers have very crazy schedules and they don't really give a shit about, you know, what the video means or doing something different. But, you know, if you look at rappers like Jay or Kanye, you know, a few others, they definitely strive to do something different, you know, and they don't do it different because, oh, I want to be different to stand out. It's just like, they're mature in their aesthetic and their taste, and you know.
Maybe Tyler the Creator too would be another good example of someone kind of breaking out of the mold a bit.
Yeah, even Tyler, you know, like he's got some videos that, you know, I'm not like that crazy about, but he's got some, the ones that I do like, I'm like, okay, this is dope, you know, because yes, he's young and, you know, it's the odd future. Like, we don't give a fuck. We're crazy. We're still kids, you know? And I think that definitely serves his aesthetic visually. But yeah, he's taking a chance. He's not afraid to do something different, you know? And I think even in 10 years, he may be doing like, you know, cool movies. But yeah, for the most part, rappers suck. You know, they really have bad taste. When you think about it, they have bad taste. If you've seen Cribs, you know, rappers have bad taste.
Dude, would you
seriously, like, come on now, you know?
So do you think that it's really driven a lot by the artist then? Like, for example, if you listen to the director commentary that we have with Abteen on the Peso video for ASAP Rocky, he mentions how he went to ASAP and he had like a binder with an idea ready to go, and Rocky's just like, you know, I just want to rap. Do you think that it's really driven by like the artist that where the creativity is gonna be welcome or not?
I mean, I think the artist definitely drives the creativity. You know, I mean, when the whole ASAP thing, when it went down, I reached out to ASAP Rocky and I met him and presented Abteen's original idea, which was a narrative exclusive. I don't know if people care about that, but it was a narrative, and it was a really, you know, cool narrative, you know, set in New York. And then that's when Rocky was like, nah, I just want to rap. He's like, I like this idea, we'll use it for another song, but I just want to rap. And I think it's, you know, him, you know, being introduced to us. We saw Purple Swag, and that was the first video. But when you saw Peso, he's rapping in front of like Harlem. He's Harlem through and through. You know, Tyler the Creator messed it up for young rappers. And what I mean by that is that, you know, Tyler, when AG and I did the Earl video, you know, that blew up, and you know, we were set to do another video for Odd Future for Damo Genesis. And then I was talking to Tyler, and Tyler basically said, we're doing everything ourselves now.
Hey, this is Adam. At this point in the conversation, Chris's microphone dropped out, and we couldn't get him back on Skype, so we gave him a call.
Story is, so yeah, Tyler messed it up for young rappers. We were going to do another video for Damo Genesis, who's also an Odd Future. When Tyler told me, he said, you know, we're doing everything in-house from now on. You know, and so, you know, they're in charge of everything. Their merchandising, their aesthetic, just Tyler is the man. So I think that has influenced somebody like Rocky, who's, you know, kind of in the same age range and demographic, where he, you know, wants to be in control of everything. You know, not only is he, like, known, he picked out his clothes and he's fashionable, but he also, you know, and beats and everything else, but also the videos as well. You know, and when you have somebody like 2 Chainz compared to Rocky, 2 Chainz doesn't really care about, you know, coming up with an idea for a video, or, you know, someone usually pitches it to him like, hey, we want, this is what we'll do to make you look cool, blah, blah, blah. Whereas somebody like Rocky, Tyler, any other younger rapper or younger artist, they have a vision of what they want. And, you know, they can communicate that to, you know, somebody and say like, hey, I directed this. That kind of thing. So I think, you know, it's not enough for rappers to just rap anymore. And I guess that's the, you know, the changing face of music is that, you know, it's not enough to just be a rapper or a musician. Like, you have to be this genius who's like, you know, yes, I do video, I direct my own videos, or, you know, I whatever, you know, so, right.
Which is, it's surprising that Hero was even able to like find his way in there with Earl, because Earl, other than the Hero videos, has done all videos that were directed by Tyler. And I like, I'm a fan of Tyler's aesthetic and the videos he does that he directs as well, because I think that they don't fall into a lot of those hip hop tropes. And so anything in hip hop that doesn't fall into that stuff and isn't like just trying to make the rapper look like a cool rich guy. You know, right. I'm drawn to that stuff. But you know, I see what you mean as well. Like Tyler kind of, he owns all of their stuff, everything that they're doing, he's involved with. So yeah, it is interesting that Hero was able to find his way in there, and but it's good also that he was.
I think that will do it for us for this podcast.
I did. I do too. I think we talked about all right. the videos.
So we want to thank you, Chris, for joining us on the podcast. If you go to the show notes, and if anybody is a new listener and they're wondering where the hell are these show notes, just go to imvdb.com/podcast and you'll see all 102 plus one episodes of the IMVDB podcast. And you'll see links, including the one for Chris Black on Twitter, which is at TheBlack, which we'll link there. Definitely follow him. As well as the IMVDB page. I can't even say our own site. For both Chris's producing work and his also director duo work. So thank you very much, Chris, for joining us.
No doubt. Thank you guys for having me. You know, I'm a big fan of the site, big fan of what you guys do. Doug, your Skype picture looks like Benny Sings, that album. I'm sure you know.
Okay.
I was like, whoa, is this Benny Sings right now? No, but you guys... I do love what you guys do because, you know, me, I love music videos. And, you know, I'm a little older than some of my peers, and I've been watching music videos since I was, you know, a teen, probably earlier. So that's why I'm so passionate about, you know, music videos. And I think you guys are definitely doing a good job on, you know, keeping it alive. So, yeah, keep on doing your thing.
Appreciate
banging.
That. We will bang along.
Just be the internet can't handle us tonight.
No, too much awesome.
It's like that song, "The Club Can't Handle Me Right Now."
Yeah, exactly.
Is that a Flo Rida song?
Mm-hmm.
I think it is a Flo Rida song. Now that you mention it, Flo Rida, he doesn't get as much attention as Pitbull, but
he's better.
His name
Pitbull's
is
the worst.
Yeah,
he's yo, definitely gentlemen. Better.
Yo,
there he is.
We did it.
There we go.
Nice and clean too.
We were just talking about Flo Rida versus Pitbull in terms of representing Florida.
Trick Daddy.
That's yeah.
Oh,
all right.
Oh yeah.
All right. I'm with that. Way better. Way better than both of those guys. Definitely.
I mean, if we have to pick between Flo Rida and Pitbull, I'd probably say Pitbull.
I think Pitbull is more versed. He's got more talent.
Silence.
Yeah. Doug and I are both Florida. Grew up in Florida, so we have such strong emotional ties.
To everything Florida, right? We love it. Love it hard.
I guess we should also
mention Florida. Did you guys hear that? I'm sure you guys heard this story about the. I read this today. The woman who bought crack went like on a crack binge, and she was 7 months pregnant, gave birth in a motel room, and chewed the umbilical cord.
Holy shit!
Did you guys read about that?
I mean, no.
And of course, it's trademark Florida, like just batshit crazy. No offense.
No.
But it's a pretty interesting article.
That's insane. I think I heard plenty of that story just now. That was enough of the story.
That was not a Facebook trending topic, so I didn't
know. No, I didn't see that on Facebook. she didn't make any songs with Wu-Tang, and so she's not famous enough.